How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Hashtag Spread the Sand. I'm your host, Dylan Thompson, and with me on Season 3, Episode 2 is U.S. Beach Soccer goalkeeper Christy Yaunt. Christy and I talk about her experience with the first ever U.S. Beach Soccer Women's National Team, her three championships at the National Beach Soccer League, and what competitions she has her eyes set on in the near future. If you have a second, please like, follow, subscribe, rate, and review Hashtag Spread the Sand wherever you listen to podcasts because it helps support the show and the beautiful game along with it. Without further ado, Season 3, Episode 2, Christy Yaunt. So, you're a goalie. Did you always want to be a goalie? Was that like how you started soccer?
Well, not technically. So I started soccer when I was 4 years old, and I started as a field player, and obviously, because we all did at four. And I always continued to play on the field. One of my favorite pictures ever that I have of me is I'm 7 years old and I'm taking a left-footed corner kick, and I'm not left-footed. So at age 10, they were trying to get someone to go on goal. And they were just selling it as, you know, you get to dive on the ground, you get to get muddy, you're the only one that gets to catch the ball. And I was like, oh, that sounds really rad. Like, I'll give that a go. So at age 10 is when I decided I'd be a keeper. And then
they got you with the speeches.
Got me with the speeches. And then my dad to this day, he's like, the reason you were so talented at 10 was because I couldn't, you know, throw a ball properly. So you're just used to catching my terrible throws.
So you continue to play goalie from then on out? Is that kind of how you grew into that position?
Yep. So at 10, the first year that I decided to be a goalkeeper, I made 4 or 5 different local club teams. So that's when I made the transition to club as a goalkeeper. I ultimately went with our local club team. And so I started playing goalie there. I was the keeper that was allowed to come out of goal, like sub out. So they would sub me out if we were up and score and I got to play on the field. I also did private training as a field player. So I felt I was kind of ahead of the curve where it was important that I still had my foot skills.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then I was goalkeeper all the way up until college and until now, I guess.
Well, so did you get introduced to beach soccer like a lot of people do, like at a younger age, at like random tournaments, or was it like something you got at more recently?
So I've only known about beach soccer for 2 years. So when I was a kid, my club team, I ended up playing with the Slammers at U14. We used to train in the sand, but we never had a soccer ball out there. We would only do fitness training in the sand. So it's kind of ironic that I did that at that age, but we never brought soccer balls out and never thought that, you know, maybe we should do this on the sand. Mm-hmm. So I only heard about beach soccer because of Lauren Leslie. So Lauren introduced it to me 2 years ago, actually this, like as of yesterday. Yesterday was my first time knowing what beach soccer was 2 years ago.
Wow. That's yeah. Awesome. Shout out to Lauren then, obviously.
Right? Yeah. huge props to Lauren. And prior to that, so I guess like this is a good story to show how beach soccer happened for me. After college, I was kind of burnt out and I did the semi-pro circuit for a little bit. And I just really felt that I was done with my soccer career. I didn't think I was going to go any further. So I took 10 years off from being a goalkeeper and I just played in rec leagues and played on the field. Really enjoyed finally getting out of my cage. So Lauren and I played against each other in our indoor rec league. And every time a team would win, we would always go and celebrate their winning. So we're there at our local watering hole, celebrating her victory. I lost. It was her victory.
Great sports.
Right? Win or lose, you still get to hang out with each other. Actually, I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate for the podcast, but it's win or lose, we still booze, you know.
So. Oh, 100%. I was waiting for you to actually say that.
Okay. But. I was like, I don't want to.
No, you're good. Okay.
All right. So Lauren was talking about her experience in Italy, that she had just gone to Italy and played beach soccer. And I go, oh my gosh, like, tell me more about this. And so she just explained it to me. And then she paused for a second, knowing that I was a goalkeeper and I was such a successful goalkeeper, and you could just see the light bulb in her head just like go on and explode. And she goes, we always need a goalkeeper. Would you want to try it out? And I thought about it and I was like, I retired my gloves. It's been 10 years. I don't think after.
Did you have gloves at that point?
No. I mean, some like probably rotting in my college bag. Like,
sure.
So disgusting. Yeah. So that ship had sailed for me, I thought. And I thought about it and I text her the next day and I go, hey, like, I really was thinking about that beach soccer and I'd be willing to give it a try. So it turned out that for Oceanside 2 years ago, Shoreline was putting in a team and they didn't have Anjali or Annalise that could make it. And so I got the phone call from Lauren, hey, like this is your chance, give it a go. I was like, I don't know, you know, I'll give it a go. It turns out that the women's side folded, so we didn't even get to play. Mm-hmm. All women's, we played co-ed, and so we were in the rec. I don't know what they consider that,
the more recreational league or something like that.
Yeah. Some more rec through the Oceanside tournament, and I was the only female goalkeeper. Surprise. Like, I mean, not too many other females would probably want to play in a co-ed as goalkeeper.
Sure.
But we ended up winning and I was like, this is really cool. This is really fun. And just meeting the people that I met in that short weekend, going and watching the men's pro-am really hooked me. And I just knew that I had to give it a go and I had to play more after one weekend.
So when was your first experience in like a pro-am from the women, all women's side?
Ooh, good question. So Virginia Beach 2 years ago. So I did Oceanside and the co-ed. And then after that, Felipe asked me if I could get a flight in 3 weeks to Virginia Beach. And we're sitting there after our championship and I just buy my flight to Virginia Beach. So 3 weeks later, yeah, I end up playing Virginia Beach. And that was my first full women's pro-am. And I believe that's why I made the USA team, because from that, my next tournament was El Salvador. So
how did you like the switch up in, real quick before we get to El Salvador, how did you like the switch up in humidity from California to Virginia for that tournament? Because if I recall, it was wild, the humidity.
It was bad. So I actually lived in Florida for 2 years.
Okay, so you had a taste.
I had a taste. And I genuinely believe Florida is much, much worse. So I think my 2 years of, I went to grad school in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So my 2 years of that, I think, seasoned me and prepared me for Virginia Beach. But going into that tournament, I actually had a very bad turf burn that had got infected, and I shouldn't have even played in that tournament because of that turf burn. Don't tell my doctor, but I survived. It's fine. I ended up having to wear pants the whole tournament. So the humidity was bad enough. And then me being the only like goalkeeper that's in full pants.
Sure. No, that's insane. Oh my gosh.
But that experience was amazing. I think getting introduced in Oceanside and kind of figuring out how different it was and the rules, and then going to Virginia Beach with the stadium and the bar behind the goal, it just was, the atmosphere was just so lively and so exciting. And the music, even though my voice is gone after this weekend, it makes such a big difference. It makes it so much more fun. Soccer is fun, right? But beach soccer is like even more fun.
Well, the you had a quick turnaround is what it sounds like, right? Like, it sounds like you went from being a goalkeeper, having a longer period of time where you were like, I'm doing this for fun, playing in the field, whatever.
Yeah.
And then throwing on your gloves for a co-ed tournament, which may have set you up better or maybe not for the women's tournament. I don't know. Maybe having,
I think so.
Yeah. So then you actually get to the women's division in Virginia Beach and see, you know, all your peers and everything, eventual teammates, I'd imagine. Like,
yes. Yep. I got to meet Megan, our captain. So that was the first time I got to play with her, because she was supposed to come out to Oceanside, but she had an ankle injury. So that was the first time meeting and playing with her. And, she'll love this, because our first game ever together, she scored on me as my teammate.
I remember she talked about, are you talking about El Salvador?
No, in Virginia Beach.
Oh, so,
So she scored on me twice.
I was about to say, I remember her saying about that in El Salvador, and she stands by. That was the proudest moment, she said.
Oh my gosh, it's one of the best goals. I tell her, it's one of the best international goals that has ever been scored on me. Like, it was an amazing goal. And, you know, I love that we can give each other a hard time about it, because it's just, you know, only us that this would happen to, you know, our international debut, and we scored each other. But she also did it in Virginia Beach. So now it's just like the running joke. Like, we just got to get it out of our system.
So in Virginia Beach at that point, did you feel confident to play with your feet, or was it still so new that you were kind of just like trying to navigate it?
Oh my gosh. It was still so new, to the point that I didn't even know keepers could use their feet.
Sure. Yeah.
Which sounds terrible, but I think when I was watching games, like watching the men play, I was so focused on the rules and the expectations of the goalkeeper that I wasn't thinking about how using your feet changes the dynamic of the game. And I don't want to throw Felipe under the bus, because he's such a sweet man and he's so nice, but he told me not to use my feet. I think because it was so novel and new to me, even though I had played on the field for 10 years, the past 10 years, more so than a goalkeeper, it was just more of a liability at that time. So I didn't even know how to flick. I was in Virginia Beach and Oceanside, I hadn't even been taught how to flick. So there was no way I was using my feet. Like, if you can't flick,
So when do you think the moment in time was when you progressed to be able to use your feet? Was it prior to El Salvador, like building up into it? Is it something you got after, right after Virginia? Like, what was that for you?
So it's a kind of a combo of the both. So I, after Virginia Beach, I reached out, Jose specifically, I had talked to him, and he came up to me and he's like, I feel like you can use your feet. Like, I feel like you're at this point, or not at this point, but like, you're a goalkeeper that could be dynamic enough with their feet. So him and I were working, we were sending videos back and forth of how to flick. So going into El Salvador, I was just getting the flick, and literally like halfway up to my shin, but that was a huge, huge feat. And then Qatar, it was almost to my knee. And then this last year, I think thanks to our Francis Fridays, now I'm flicking chest or above. Mm-hmm. So I think it was there, but I was too nervous to use it in the game until a year of practice. And now it's like, okay, I can flick and I can juggle and I can shoot. I can flick and shoot.
A combination of all the things. Yeah. Be a weapon for your team.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The flick specifically, everyone was telling me it's going to take you a year. It's going to take you a year. And I laughed because I was like, I don't have a year. El Salvador is like in 3 months. Like, I got to do this learning curve real quick. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely believe that part of it was strength building. So once I got to that point where I was doing the flick over and over, Janae is another person. Jay told me, hey girl, like, you got to do 100 flicks a day. So I would put 10 balls out in a line at my local lake, and I would just do 10 flicks down, 10 flicks back, 10 flicks down until I hit 100 flicks a day. And I really think that it just, that rote practice helped build my strength and then the confidence too. But it's a crazy, like, you look at these international players that are flicking, and I'm like, how?
With ease, too. With ease, they're just...
Yeah.
At the snap of a finger, they can do what they want with the ball. Yeah. It's kind of wild.
It's a skill that I don't know if they take for granted, but it does take a while to build up to be able to do that. So
it's like the muscle memory of it almost.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. That, and like, you know, the other thing you don't think about is once someone had told me, and I think it might've been Francis or Eddie or Jason Santos, and one of the, cause when we were training with the men, it's my left leg that you have to like flex your knee and then pop it. And I was like, ah, once one of those guys told me, and then I was like, wow, like such a simple, simple little thing.
So as a goalie, what do you think mentally for your mental game in beach soccer took you the longest to get down?
Ooh. I can tell you the easiest thing that it took me to get down.
Let's start with that.
You're gonna get scored on. It's gonna happen. Like, and I think that's the biggest transition piece of our goalkeeper mental game, is that you know, when you're a field keeper, it's the shutout. Your job is the shutout. You got to get the shutout. Of course, in beach soccer, you want a shutout. Like that, I'm not saying don't strive for a shutout, but how often is there a shutout in beach?
There's a lot of goals being scored, period.
And that's the point of beach soccer. That's what makes it exciting, is you want a high scoring. But that sucks for us and our mental health. But I think when you think about the fact that, like, okay, like, you're going to get scored on, but just get scored on less than the other keeper. So, like, you have to shift this. Like, instead of a shutout, I'm going to get scored on less than my opponent.
Fair.
Mentally toughest.
For me, I think tactically, a goalie is like a quarterback, very much exactly. More so than, you know, 11 aside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, as a goalkeeper in beach, I think that's what's holding me on to this sport, is that you're so much more involved. And you, like, I don't think I could go back to playing 11 aside as a goalkeeper. It's too boring. It's too, you know, you
less might not action.
Even, yeah, you might not even touch the ball. Where beach, it's like you get to combine being a field player and the goalkeeper aspect. So that piece now, I mean, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, that was mentally tough for me to be involved. Because if you watch some of my early international games, I'd get the ball and just run and throw it and be like, okay, not my problem anymore. Like, you deal with it. And now that I have the experience, I like that piece. I like that mental toughness of, I have to slow the game down. I have to give a good ball. I have to run plays. I think the biggest piece for me is the variable of sand. It'll hit a sand mound and do a 90 degree turn. And like mentally, like, I know that's not my fault, but also mentally,
still stings.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to, you know, you lay out for a dive and you're like, I got this. And it's just like, dink. And like, you watch it go in, like, no, in slow motion. So, yeah, that's what I would say is like the mentally hard piece is having those dinky goals that I just like dink, dink, dink.
And it's unfortunately like never something you can truly, you know, expect to see happen until it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you just can't, maybe I'm, you know, I like control, and like, you can't control that, especially as a goalkeeper. Like, in beach, you're supposed to control the game. You're supposed to, you know, control every aspect you can, but you can't control the sand. Like, it's a beast of its own.
For sure.
I think it's scored more goals on me than other people have, you know.
So we were talking about El Salvador. We'll fast forward a bit to then.
Okay.
And so when I've talked to other women's national team players, it always starts out with the funny story of, you almost don't know everyone until you get there and you're actually with everyone and playing with them. So talk to me a little bit about that experience. And I mean, obviously having, you know, the first women's U.S. national team play, like, how was that before even you played?
I don't even have words to describe, to be a part of something that no one else besides our other 9 players to be a part of. It's just incredible. It's just unbelievable and just amazing to know that we're going to go down in U.S. soccer history. Like, you think about the Mia Hamms and the Michelle Akers. Like, I don't even think Mia Hamm was on the first like field team ever. Like, we remember the Michelle Akers of this world, that they were the pioneers. And it's just, I don't believe that I'm here talking about this. Like, it doesn't seem like real life that I'm a pioneer for beach soccer women's national team. So that's just amazing within itself. And it's amazing for myself and for the 9 other players. And then it's amazing that we've paved this way for our pool. Now we have this very large number pool, which is just incredible. We went from 2 years to having, you know, 10 of the best players that we knew to put on a team, to now that Francis is going to have a hard decision landing on 10 players. Where else was I going with this? Bring me back in.
So, I mean, just the fact that you didn't know all those players to jump.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, so it, the crazy thing, like Bethany, so Bethany grew up in Mission Viejo, where I grew up in Mission Viejo. We played in the same indoor league, and we didn't meet each other until the first practice. We had one practice with Eddie, with the local California girls. Mm-hmm. So I met her then, and I was like, what? We've lived 2 miles away from each other our whole life, and it takes us making the USA Beach Soccer National Team to meet.
That is such a small world.
Yeah, right? What a small world. I mean, it was easy with Lauren, because Lauren was the reason that she got me into beach soccer. But it was such a whirlwind, because, you know, Megan and Kelly and Mel, they had a delayed flight. So we didn't meet them until the morning of our first training session. So we were still learning each other's names in our 45-minute training session. And I just remember thinking to you as a keeper, I'm like, oh no, like, I have to know, you know, where they want the ball. Like, do they like a chest pass? Do they want it at their thigh? Like, who, like,
team chemistry needed to be built and quick.
Yeah. Like immediately. So, on that note, the way that I tried to build it was I started our team off with a playlist. I was like, okay, well, like, this is an easy way. I'll give everyone, let's just get in on a playlist, and we'll have a playlist for the bus. And,
Christy with the icebreaker.
Yeah. Music's easy, you know, everyone's going to dance or sing, or, you know, it's going to kind of break the ice, so to speak. And we kind of landed on that boom, boom, boom song. So I'm not going to sing it because it's really embarrassing, but it's actually this shirt. I ended up getting the made. Sorry for the loud noise. It says, well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So the boom, 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 everybody says, whoa. So every time on the bus ride, I would blast that song, and then the entire team would scream the whoa part. So at least I knew we could sing on key for that part. Whether or not we could play as a beach national team together was a different story.
Walking away from that qualifier, y'all went 2-1, I think, and the loss coming to the rivalry against Mexico, which every U.S. national team knows what that. So, obviously, from the talks of it, you've watched soccer to an extent before now, and you know of the U.S.-Mexico like rivalry. Did you ever anticipate that you would be a part of that at all? And when you were a part of that, how did that feel?
Right. I mean, every little kid like hopes that you're a part of that, you know, rivalry. And I thought maybe, I mean, so I got to play on the national team for a U14-year-old. So I think at that stage, you know, I dreamed of being able to be there. And I thought it would be for grass, but it ended up being for beach, which I think is better now that I have a biased opinion. But yeah, the rivalry, it that was the one game we didn't want to lose. And I got the winning goal scored on me, and it just, the crowd noise was deafening, but it still was just such a wonderful experience to be able to play against Mexico. It was terrible to lose, but I do blame it on it being our first game. We had one 45-minute practice prior to that, and then we get thrown into this game, and you know, we're still teaching each other the rules, and
so, and then you hold your own. It's only 2-1 of a loss
to, like, lose 2-1, and it just was like a, like, it, you know, yeah, it wasn't like a blowout. Not that I thought we would get blown out, but it just, we were the least experienced there. I mean, besides Bahamas, I think us and Bahamas, it was our first ever time playing. So the fact to jump into that and play such a you know, one of those countries where I feel like they're just born with a soccer ball at their foot to hold our own against them, I was really proud of us.
And then a solid win against the home crowd, El Salvador, 9-6.
That was a game, Dylan. What a game.
Goal fest. Yeah. How did that feel? I mean, you must not have been able to talk to anyone at any point in time.
to talk during the game.
Just like during the game, there must have been no way to communicate unless you're making hand signals. Zero. Or something.
It was so loud between the crowd
and the music. I mean, it was sold out, so it was standing room only. There was people behind every single, both goals. Anywhere that fans could stand, people were standing. You couldn't hear yourself think. It was so loud. And I never thought that my brain, you couldn't hear my brain just firing. That moment, it was just, you just couldn't, it just was overwhelming. But yeah, hand signals were huge. Just like what? Like corner kicks, I'm just moving people. Like, you go here, you go here. Our throws, oh my gosh, it just was like, hey, like that way, I'm gonna throw it that way, like without trying to give it away.
For sure.
But it was, oh my gosh, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'll never forget. So I think I started that game. So that was my first start, and just the anxiousness and, oh my God, like I'm starting a game for my country in the host country's stadium with a sold out crowd. But then looking across, it just was, I don't know if I'll ever get that again, you know? And I just kind of took my deep breaths and I was like, this is my time to enjoy, have a good time and play well. Like, you know, let's do this. So then Mel and I were kind of subbing back and forth, and Eddie pulls me out, and I'm going back in, and he subs me in for a PK, which in my life, who gets subbed in for a PK? Like, that doesn't really happen in grass, you know? Like, you don't just come off the bench and go into a PK. And I remember looking around in the crowd, and then I go, okay, coach, like, what's your advice? And he goes, don't get scored on. I was like, all right. I'm about to sub in for a PK. Like, that's okay. I won't get scored on. I got scored.
Not even directional awareness or anything. He was just like, don't get scored on.
Yeah, just don't get scored on. I'm like, okay, all right. Or, you know, like, run this play. Nope, just don't get scored on. But I will say, once we went up in the lead, the crowd started chanting USA, and that, just hearing that from the home crowd chanting our team when we're beating their team, that was incredible. I don't know if we'll, you know, if that'll ever happen again. I couldn't believe it was happening when it was happening.
Super uncommon, but
yeah.
I think from when I was watching those games, just purely as a spectator from behind a screen, obviously, I think the crowd just looked like they were excited to be there. Ultimately,
I think so too.
They were just excited that they were hosting something as big as that event, and we're just happy to party in there with the best of them.
And everyone was so friendly and so nice, and it was funny at one point. Someone yelled at me something in Spanish, and I know a little bit to know enough of what they yelled at me, and I yelled it back, and I said thank you, because they said something about, like, I made a save or something. I turned around and I said a little bit in Spanish, and then I thanked them, and like the look on their face was like, oh my gosh.
And then they fainted, and then so based off that qualifier, you all weren't originally supposed to go to the Anoc World Beach Games, right? Not originally.
No, so we had to have placed first, and Mexico beat us out. So we didn't think we were going. We thought that was it, and that was, you know, tremendously disappointing, because it came down to we were watching one game. I can't remember. This is where my memory is failing me, but it came down to an El Salvador game, and if they would have tied it or scored a certain amount, we would have qualified. So we came out of El Salvador just, you know, sad and disappointed, and, you know, we did our best, but I think China backed out. I think China's national team wasn't able to make it because of, they qualified, but then funding or whatever it is fell through for them. So then we got the next spot, which I don't know how they decided that, but.
No complaining on our end.
No complaining. I'm very, 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 very thankful.
I mean, that's insane, right? Going from playing in the States at local tournaments to going to El Salvador for a qualifier to now going to Qatar for a larger scale event for beach sports, not just beach soccer, beach sports in general.
Yes.
And playing against heavy hitters too, like other countries that have established women's teams that have been playing.
Yeah.
And teams obviously that had to qualify to get there. I think y'all went 1-2. But talk to me a little bit about that experience and playing, you know, the Russia, the team GB, and then Paraguay. Like, how was it to see those teams play and their styles?
So our learning curve, like, instead of like being a curve, I think was just like a rocket ship to the moon. We went from, okay, awesome. Here's beach soccer to like, here you're playing against Russia and Great Britain and Paraguay. And so whole different ball game, whole different event, because it was not a U.S. soccer event. We were actually competing for Team USA. So that in itself is just a pressure that you don't really think would happen in your lifetime, especially after, you know, you quit being a goalkeeper for 10 years. You don't think you're going to be wearing Team USA on your chest for an Olympic level event. So that just was a monster within itself. Beach soccer wise, I do think the skill level was much different. It was for our CONCACAF, I felt it was more gritty and like more like on the sand battles. And then we stepped into this, you know, European style of play with Russia and Great Britain, where it was a lot more aerial and a lot more, these girls just knew how to lock the game in when they needed to lock it in, like their free kicks. I mean, you give anyone on Great Britain a foul and that goal is probably going to be in the back of the net. Like, you do not want to foul these women. Like, they they know how to finish the ball. Russia just, oh my gosh, they were workhorses. And their keeper, I watch her training videos and I've watched her play. She's one of the best women's keepers in the world. And her feet are amazing. Something I would strive to be. Paraguay too, their different style. They are another contender that, I mean, I think one of them, I can't remember if it was our game or we ended up scrimmaging them after, which was super awesome that we had the opportunity to play them again. And their shot taking capabilities, they can turn and shoot from anywhere on the field, and you just have to be ready. And I think for me, I'm looking forward to more international experiences, and not to knock our USA side, but I think it's just going to challenge me more. And I, as a goalkeeper, I need to be, not that I'm not challenged here, I'm totally challenged here, but it's just an extra added skill level. And just, you know, we're striving to be contenders with them, and yeah, you can see that they have a little more experience than us.
Numerous perspectives are always, numerous perspectives are also a good thing too. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We'll get you the opportunity to continue to play with other people who play differently, and give you
exactly
give different individual styles. Players more of an edge, so that way when you all come together as a team nationally, yep. You know, you got more notches on your belt type deal. So that all is awesome. I always have to give a shout out though to the National Beach Soccer League and all the stuff that they're doing. You talk about a bigger pool. I would say this is a huge driver for why there's a bigger pool, as well as the group down in Southern California who's working on those competitions as well. But you are a 3-peat NBSL champion. And I have to obviously congratulate you, but also ask, like, what is your secret? What is up with Christy's squad that you hold it down and you make it through the weekend?
Oy, I don't know if it has anything to do with me. No, I was actually going to ask Aldo, is there anyone else that has won it all three times?
There's a guy on my team, Franco. Okay. He's also a three-peater.
Okay, so it's just him and I. So I can't claim I'm the only one. But I can't claim I'm the only goalkeeper. So
that's true.
I'll hold that one. You know, Dylan, if you would have told me 2 years ago that 2 years from now I will have played in the first ever and won the first ever women's league, let alone played in and won three national beach soccer league championships, I would tell you that you were crazy. Like, I can't believe that this is where I'm at. Especially when I never thought I would know the game as well as I can now say I know the game. And I think a lot of my success, and this is going to really make me seem like such a big nerd, but I read the rule book before every tournament. So going into Oceanside, my first tournament ever, I downloaded the soccer bylaws and I read it cover to cover. And then on my flight to Virginia Beach, I read it cover to cover. My flight to El Salvador, I read it cover to cover.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah. So between that and me being lucky enough to be coached by Eddie, going into to Qatar, he let myself, Bethany, Lauren, and Kelly come out and train with the men. So that gave us an extra edge to train with them. And I mean, anytime you get to train with a USA coach with USA experience, and then also the men's side, I think it just levels your game up. And then my experience with being with Francis, I've looked out that, you know, I had a Francis as an assistant coach and then a head coach. And then I got to experience having him as, you know, for a camp 2 days a week. I think it just leveled up my knowledge of the game. And I think, yes, you need talent. I mean, I guess I would say I'm talented. I don't like talking about myself, but okay. So I'm talented, but I also know the game inside and out at this point. And it started with reading the rule book. I was laughing because, oh my gosh, I God bless NBSL, but they, you know, they had some refs cancel on them. So they had some refs that didn't know the game. And I'm yelling, like telling the refs, like, okay, like it's right there. A PK, the goalie can't come off their line. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if you would have told me a year ago, I'd be
a stickler for the rules.
Rules. Yeah, like, oh my God, that's not me. But
If you weren't of the biased nature, I would say that you'd be on the field reffing. It's what it sounds like. But
so I joked for the, like, your guys' men's games. I was like, do you want me to go ref? And they're like, no, you need to rest. I was like, well, I'm sitting here watching it anyways, I'll ref. But yeah. I think I will say too, all three teams, I've had different players, and I think it's just how you bring people together to, at the end of the day, have a good time. And I know a lot of the girls out there, including myself, are very nervous and anxious, and you know, they want to perform well, but if you get in your head too much, you don't perform well. And I think I pride myself in my captainship that I calm people's nerves, and I, you know, it's make a mistake. It's okay. That's what beach soccer is about. Try something new. You know, it's the final, but if you've never, you know, flicked and kicked it off the sand, like, do it. Why not give it a go? And I think I joked this last final, the motto of the weekend was calm, cool, and collected. Beach soccer is a calm sport, and when you're calm, you're more successful. And I think it's just important to enjoy what you're doing. And no, I've enjoyed 100%. Winning.
Fair enough.
I've enjoyed what Francis and Aldo have done with us for the NBSL. It's just to have the opportunity to play. And I think it's fantastic to scramble the girls. Like, I love that, you know, you're going to meet someone new for the first time, because that's what happened in El Salvador. We had one 45-minute practice and then we had to perform together. So it's neat that the NBSL kind of mirrors that, you know, before your first game, you meet people for the first time and you have to go out and perform as a team. And it's not just about me winning. I like to be a team member and a team player. And I like to win in a team sport, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it literally combines a bunch of variables, being different people that may not have played together before, to come together and figure it out for a weekend. And I think, like you said, it just adds a whole different dynamic to the meaning of team, for sure.
Yes.
And again, I think the ultimate goal is to make it super hard, unfortunately, for Francis and Benny now to look at the pool and say, who do we want?
Yes.
Who are we going to take?
Right. Which is good. I mean, that's how it should be at a national level. It should, you know, you should, if you think you have your spot, you're, I mean, myself included, like you have to work hard. And this is where we get to showcase how hard we've been working. And then we get put in an element where you're a little, you know, out of sorts because you're not with your teammate and you don't know how this person plays. So it just really levels you up and it's almost creates an even playing field in the sense of, you know, we're all in the same boat. We all don't know each other. We all don't know each other, but can we still perform?
Yeah, exactly. So Christy, I'm excited to hear based on the conversations we've had off of the podcast. Tell everybody what is in store for you moving forward. What are you doing in the coming up days?
So I am excited. I have now since joined Coastal United and we are coached by Pacheco and Jose. So I'm really excited to have not one, but two coaches that have experience and can help build us. That team, we're planning to play in El Salvador. I think it's the end of July. Sure. So we've got some Californians and we've got some Virginia Beach girls. And so I think it's going to be nice to kind of combine the coast. That's why we're Coastal United. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting in the future for that. Unfortunately, we won't be playing together in Virginia Beach because for Virginia Beach, we already established a California team. So we're combining Northern California with the Southern California and we're going to be SoCal. So
also another, another team to be reckoned with type deal.
Yep. So that's going to be really fun because we've had Shoreline and NorCal have always had this gnarly rivalry and, you know, we're always in the finals against each other. So, to kind of split the teams up and play together, it's going to be fun and be interesting. And, of course play with my USA teammates. I'm so excited to do that. And the other girls and just, continue our beach soccer knowledge. And then, I also got picked up for the Euros. So I'm excited. I'm going to play with new team from Belgium. And I think, you know, every beach soccer player dreams to play internationally and play in the Euro Winners Cup. So I'm very excited that I get to do that. This time last year, it was a struggle to get me on a team. And now I think my hard work is paying off. And I'm so excited to have the opportunity to play and go see a new country and meet new people and more beach soccer.
Congratulations. I think that's awesome. I think I definitely agree that hard work pays off. And, you know, I'm just stoked that a USA goalie like yourself is getting the opportunity to continue to play overseas. And a number of our players are headed down into the, you know, foreign leagues and countries to go, you know, do their thing, which is awesome.
I think it's amazing. And I think it shows the growth of the sport because, you know, 2 years ago it was, you know, a couple and now we should have at least 10-ish girls that I know about. So that's just, it just goes to show the hard work that we've been doing on this side and just that we're so willing to grow the game and the excitement to grow the game. And
well, Christy, I appreciate the heck out of you for coming on and talking beach soccer with me. Like I said, I'm stoked to see how your number of events coming up go. I'll be seeing you in Virginia, I'm sure.
Yes.
So, but yeah, thank you for coming on. And
thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.